You know, we need to remember, though, that the mask is simply a mask. Yeah? It's not a gag. So we can still talk and we can still breathe. We've got a wonderful God, as we've already sang about today, who cares for each one of us. And I read this passage, and this is what brought the word I felt the Lord laid on my heart to bring to you this morning. So I'll read it. It's from Matthew 12, and it's verses 30 to 37. And it's Jesus actually speaking to the Pharisees. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good, and its fruits will be good, or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For the tree is recognized by its fruit. You breed of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For your words will be acquitted by the words you will be condemned. You know, when I read that passage, it really concentrated my mind on the message, because I will be held responsible for every word that I speak. And not just here this morning, this is as I walk with the Lord. We've got to guard our tongues. So let's just pray before I expound on what the Lord's laid on my heart. Heavenly Father, I ask that you will open up your word to each one of us this morning. Lord, take all of me out of it, because no one wants to hear my thoughts. We want to hear from you this morning, Lord. Lord, we just want you to build us up, to feed us afresh, Lord. Feed your sheep. And just help us, Lord, to maintain our walk with you as we should, and rely on you totally for our strength and our support, and let your light shine out of us broken vessels, because that's why we're broken, Lord, so that your light can escape. So Lord, help us to celebrate the fact that we are broken vessels, and not try to act as though we're perfect, because a perfect jar will hide a candle, but one with cracks in it will let your light shine through. So help us to be crackpots, Lord, as it were, this morning, for your glory and to praise you. And we ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Sorry for the pun. In the passage we have just read, Jesus was addressing the Pharisees, as I said, and he was pointing out that their preaching was not reflected in their actions, in what they did. And we're the same. We've got to be practicing what we preach. Otherwise, people will just say, huh, don't believe a word of it. Yeah? Because if you say that you love the Lord, yet you're out swearing at your neighbors and doing all sorts of things, where's the truth in it? It's all gone, isn't it? So I like that bit from where Jesus points out in Matthew 7:17-18. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, but a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Now, it couldn't be clearer than that. We do need to practice what we preach, if we're expected to be productive, as we are called to be, in the Great Commission. In Scripture, the tree refers to the heart. The condition of the heart determines the fruit that comes forth and that can be expected. To be effective, then, it's important that when we preach and what we preach lines up with Scripture and what's in our heart. And that's what gets me at times when I listen to some services from cathedrals and all the rest of it. It's all very religious, but there's not much heart in the message. And people like to have their ears tickled, you know. And in some ways you can understand it if they're lonely. But tickling ears will not get them into heaven. You've got to tickle their heart and get them excited to get into the Word and to accept the Lord. Let us look then at what the Bible says about the tongue. Here are a few verses from Proverbs, which I've interjected in between. In Proverbs 10, verse 20, it reads, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value." That's what I was saying about when you hear sermons sometimes or messages from these cathedrals. They're ear tickling, but there's not much of the Spirit in them. It's nice, though, isn't it, whenever you receive encouragement? You know, it really builds you up. It raises your spirits. On the other hand, when you're getting criticized or abused, verbally abused, it can have the opposite effect. It can drag you right down and put you in a very bad and vulnerable place. When I was a boy, and I'm sure the same happened to, well, not you girls, but the same happened when you were young, you know, I was called names at school. And that's where my title actually comes from, because I think we're always wondering what it was. I used to get called names, and it was often by bigger boys who they knew rightly that you weren't going to offer much problems to them. They'd call you names and make fun of you. And I used to shout out back at them, you know, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." Have you ever done that? I'm sure you have. You know, but when you reflect back, it sounds very clever at the time. But I used to say it feeling damaged inside, tearful maybe, but I didn't want to show it. I was a big braver than my size, as it were. You know, but it was an illusion. It was a lie that I was saying back, because some of those taunts still stick with you. And some people, those scars last for a whole lifetime. So it's important that we guard our tongue and we're careful what we say to people. And even sometimes in jokes, we say things in a joke or we think it's a joke. And it's only when we reflect on it later, we read, "Oh, what have I done?" You know? So what I suggest is, before you let your tongue loose, that you consult the Lord about it. And it doesn't take a lot, because the Lord's ready for you 24/7, and He will help you. Just think before you speak and ask for His direction. This verse from Proverbs 15:4 makes it clear. "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." And that's what we've got to remember and be aware of, the damage that our tongues can do. Again, we can read in Proverbs 16:1, "To humans belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue." So that's why it's important that we seek the Lord, and He will give us the proper things to say. Do you remember what He told the disciples when they were going to court? Not to worry about what to say, that He would supply them. The Holy Spirit would give them the words to say. And He will give us the words to say as well, if we rely on Him. Just wait. be still and know that He is God, and He will fill you with the words that you need for any situation and every situation. Therefore, as I say, we need to seek His direction before we engage our lips. We were warned in Proverbs 18:21 that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. You know, you've got to meditate on those. It sounds very simple. But it's clear then that although it's one of the smallest muscular organs in the body, the tongue is capable of being one of the most powerful organs in the body for affecting how we live and how other people see us. So it's we've got to be careful how we use it. As Christians, we need to take note, as we can read in Songs of Solomon 4, 3, part A of it, "Your lips are like scarlet ribbon, your mouth is lovely." Now, I pondered on that when I read it at first, and then I thought about it. But when you look into Scripture, scarlet normally is used to indicate sanctification through the blood of Christ. And what that verse tells me is our lips have been touched with the fire as out of the coal, out of the fire, as Rob's already went this morning, and purified our lips as long as we stay within the parameters of His direction. Now, I know Jesus as my Lord. If you know Him as your Lord, you can claim that verse for your own, that you've got sanctified lips. As long, as I said, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your heart and you're listening to His guidance. How many of us get in the car and we're driving to somewhere we've never been before, but we think, oh yeah, I know how to get there, so I'm not putting something out on, I'll just go, I know what I'm doing, and you end up getting lost. That's what it's like if you try to do things on your own. Turn on the Holy Sat-Nav. Yeah, speak in contact all the time with the Holy Spirit. That's why the Father sent the Holy Spirit after Christ ascended to heaven to His disciples and to us, because He knew we'd be lost without Him. We need a guide, and we cannot do things in our own strength or in our own way. In Proverbs 16 and 1b, we read, "From the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue." But those who don't know Jesus today, they're in the same position as the Pharisees were in the passage I've just read this morning. If you remember, Jesus said to them in verse 34 of this morning's reading from Matthew 12, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." And it's true. It's important that we remember that. Although our tongue is the smallest muscular organ in the body, it controls nearly everything that we do. It controls how we eat, believe it or not, because we get all our taste from it. It controls how we speak, controls how we sing. And you know, even to the dumb that can't speak, the tongue is still there, still taste. They can still make a sound. And you know, the Lord hears every cry, whether it's verbal or unverbal, unhearable to us. And even when we sing, if we're singing out of tune, He can refine it and take the praise out of it if it's coming from the heart. So it's something that we've got to be concerned about and worry about, what we do with our tongue and to use it properly. You know, again in Scripture, James reminds us in James 1:26, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Now, how powerful is that statement from James, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus? James has a lot of advice for us, and he tells us that if we control our tongues, we can control our lives. He goes on to give us some illustrations, as we can read from James 3, verses 3 through to 8. And they read, "When we put a bit into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest fire can be set by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." Very strong words from James. But I like the bit that helps me, is that part in verse 4, where he says, the pilot, the ship goes wherever the pilot directs us. And we should be that ship. We should be going where the Holy Spirit directs us. We need to remember that without the Lord's strength and his direction, our tongues are more incapable of getting us into a whole lot of trouble. James points out our human inconsistencies. Even us who are Christians have inconsistencies from time to time. We are not perfect. Again, in James 3, 9 to 12, he goes on to just show us how imperfect we are. It reads, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." Sounds very simple, doesn't it? But it's very poignant and it's very strong when you think about it. And how often we forget just what we are saying at times if we spout off in our own strength. I think it's important that we do just take that little minute and listen to what the Lord's saying. And the other time is, I'm guilty of this more than anything else, it comes to a time of prayer, open prayer, and you hear the Holy Spirit prompting you to say something. And whether it's something that's happening outside that's in your mind and troubling you, or you're feeling worried or a little bit insecure, and you put it off. I don't know about you, but I've often heard maybe a 5 second, 10 second, maybe even 20 second gap. But that prayer that I was prompted with is being prayed by someone else, and I feel chastised by it, by the Holy Spirit, and have to ask forgiveness for it. But we are all human, and we will fail and fall, and we will misuse the tongue. But don't worry about it too much. We'll get to the end of it. At the end of the message, we will resolve that. But here, I believe, James is reinforcing what Jesus actually said. If the tree is good, the fruit will be good. You know, if the tree is bad, the fruit can't be anything else but bad. You know, what comes out of our mouth comes out of our heart. And what's ever in our heart is what will come out of our mouths. Sounds simple. But I like the example he uses with the water. You know, if your heart is full of fresh, healthy water, then it's useful. It'll go out and people can drink it. But have you ever tried drinking salty water? I've tried gargling with it and accidentally maybe a little drop's gone down. And you think, oh, wish I hadn't done that. Or in the sea. You know, so if it's salty, if it's brackish that's coming out of your mouth, it'll turn people off rather than turn them on. And we all have a problem with our tongues from time to time. And it should not surprise us. As Scripture tells us, again in James, and we've already read it this morning, James 3, verse 8, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Our tongue can easily get us into trouble. I know mine has got me into trouble quite a few times, both in civilian life and in service life, when I was in the RAF. It wasn't things that were dangerous to the Spirit of God and preaching, but sometimes you can say the wrong things to your boss, can't you? And we can all do it. It's so easy in the heat of the moment. Our tongue can easily get us in trouble in so many various ways, such as talking too much. And I've been accused of that from time to time. Not looking at anybody in particular. We are warned in Proverbs 10, verse 19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. And sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world to do, to hold your tongue. Especially when somebody says something that you maybe don't agree with. And sometimes you think, well, I'll just put this person straight before you even consider what it is they're said or get the full context. Maybe trying to interrupt. And it's something that we need to be careful about. Ecclesiastes 5:1-2 puts it this way. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, and you are on earth. So let your words be few and free. But they will be free if the Holy Spirit's directing you. But it's true, Proverbs talks a lot about fools. You know, even a wise man, if he doesn't say anything or says too much, he can be a fool. A foolish man, if he doesn't say anything, can appear wise. So do not be too quick to speak. Easier said than done, eh? But you remember, I wasn't born. It may surprise you, but I wasn't born. During World War I and World War II, I was born in 49, which was 4 years after the war ended. But I've watched a lot of war films and a lot of history. And I know there was a slogan used during World War I and World War II. Careless words cost lives. And it's very true during those times. They could cost lives. But careless words can cost salvation, which is life eternal, which is even more important. And that's why it's more important that we as Christians learn to guard our tongue and to use it to His glory. You know, Jesus gives us a warning that deserves to be taken seriously. And it's one that, as a Christian, we need to take seriously. And it's from Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Wow. Now, what could this be referring to? What would you consider to be an empty word? Possibly gossiping about someone, slandering someone, or even listening to gossip and slander. Proverbs 20:19 warns us, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. And again, we are told in Psalm 15:1-3, which is a Psalm of David, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one who walks and is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others. Sounds straightforward, easy. But how often do we fail and fall into the trap of not obeying those simple points? Again, Proverbs 6:16-19 reads, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. If the Lord hates those, why is it at times we still do them? How then are we all feeling? Do we all feel happy and great? Have we anything to worry about? How are we going to measure up against God's standards? Well, there is good news. There is hope for each one of us. As Paul points out and reminds us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Again, and John gives us further hope as we read in 1 John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purifies us from all unrighteousness. It could not be any clearer, I believe, as this passage from Luke 5:32, where Jesus tells his disciples, and we can take it that he's telling us as well, I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. And again, I go back to Paul's point, for we have all sinned, so we're all sinners. So you can rejoice in that the Lord has come to call us, the sinners, to repentance. So that's what we've got to do. We've got to be ever aware of what we've done wrong and to seek his repentance, to bring it to the light, because he won't forgive you in the darkness. But to bring it to light, to mention it to him, to just bring it to him. Doesn't mean to put it on the broadsheet of the Chronicle or the Daily Mail or whatever paper you want of your choice. Just talk to him and just confess where you've gone wrong, and he is just and faithful to forgive you your sins. You'll be glad to know, with this I will close. Just as the doctor may ask us to stick out our tongue so that they can examine it and get an indication as to our general health, we need to take note of our tongue and to remember whatever comes out of our mouth indicates the state of our spiritual health. Yes, what is in our heart is expressed by our tongue. So it's important that we learn to control it, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit if we hope to achieve that. And with that thought, I will close there. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we are sinners and we need your Son's righteousness to make us acceptable in your eyes. And it's only his covering that makes us acceptable to you. So Lord, we just thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we ask that you forgive us when we let our tongue rule our head, as the saying goes, or try to push out the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask that you keep reminding us of our misgivings and the times when we stumble, and enable us and encourage us to come back to the Lord and to seek his forgiveness, to repent. But Lord, you are more than willing to forgive us anything. And Lord, if anyone's listening to this and they haven't yet accepted you as their Lord and Savior, I would commend you to them, Lord. Lord, speak into their heart. Enable them, Lord, to call you Lord and to come to you and to humble themselves and just to free themselves of all the bondage of this world. Lord, we just give you all the glory this morning, and we ask that you continue to just bless us this coming day, this coming week, and whatever time you've got left for us, Lord. Lord, we lift this country up to you in the state it's in at the moment. Lord, they need a vaccine, but more than a vaccine, they need you. So Lord, I just pray that you will just speak into the heart of this government. Lord, just start a revival in this country of ours. And just renew us, Lord, I pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.